Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hello there, Mr. Grant.
Hi, Mark.
And continuing our discussion on spousal protections, a subject that you've touched on a degree through the last few years, but you wanted to really explore this subject in more detail because it is so important.
It is, and we hopefully set up a really strong base show last week, and so I encourage listeners to head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com, and all of our past podcasts can be found there. And so there was what I believe to be a strong foundational discussion about why we need to have the conversation of spousal protections. And ultimately, in a very brief summary, what I think we uncovered is that, number one, most people have never done estate planning. So number one is that most individuals will simply allow the law or whatever happens to happen, and that is not the best setup for our surviving spouse. Number two is that most individuals have not had the proper education concerning what estate planning does, what the power is. And so, therefore, we always encourage you to head over to our website and sign up for an upcoming educational class. And then number three is that after we have the discussion of what good base planning is, then we need to talk to you specifically. We need to uncover what your specific family, financial, and long-term needs are as a couple. And so by understanding you specifically, then we would be able to actually set up an opportunity to discover what needs to happen. And so those are the first three premises that we discussed last week. Now, in the discussion of spousal protections, we talked about three main categories. The first one was tax and Medicaid. They look very similar in how they are formed, but they serve a very opposite purpose. The tax planning is typically intended for individuals who have $1.5 million or more, and they are heading towards an estate tax issue in Washington state. I use 1.5 because that will be a growing number. The actual tax number is $2.2 million. So therefore, we want some buffer room before we have the conversation. And then Medicaid planning is the opposite, which is, I'm not sure that we have enough money, and I'd like to protect what we do have in case one or both of us need to have long-term care or have a catastrophic health issue.
So it can be protected? I thought on Medicaid, they take everything. So if you've got any assets, you lose everything.
Well, that is true if we've never done planning.
Oh, okay.
And so we do planning, we have tools that can assist in rightfully, legally protecting what someone has. So that's kind of category one, tax and Medicaid protections.
Okay.
Category number two is, what do we do with blended families, remarriage issues after one spouse dies, so the surviving spouse will typically get remarried, and then how do we protect the surviving spouse against just the common things in life, such as I'm driving down the road and I make a driving error, and it's my fault, and I run into somebody and greatly hurt them. So would that be interesting if we could actually protect the surviving spouse from that scenario of his or her finances being completely taken from them? And then the third category that we talked about is, how do we protect income, principal, and the investment and investments by strategically assisting the surviving spouse? In other words, we want to ensure that the financial plan does not get destroyed because one spouse has died, specifically in the scenario where if the spouse that died, if they were the ones who have always managed the money, then the surviving spouse is oftentimes very lost, and it's very, very difficult for them to educationally catch up in the short period of time. and a lot of financial mistakes and immeasurable insecurity exists around now what do I do with the finances because my spouse, who has now passed away, managed them all. Mm. So those are the three categories, tax and Medicaid, and that's what we'll kind of deal with today. And then blended families and remarriage and protection issues, and then principal income and investment solutions through setting up spousal protections.
Okay, so then what kind of plan do we need to protect against taxes? There are ways to protect.
There are. So estate planners have a saying that estate taxes are for those who never planned. So in other words, I don't care if you have $2 million or $20 million or $200 million. We can protect against estate taxes diluting and ravishing your estate. So really, again, estate taxes are just for those who don't plan. That tells us something. That tells us that we have solutions that we can sit down and talk about as far as shifting finances when someone passes away to ensure that indeed the estate tax is mitigated or fully extinguished. And it depends. There's a lot of different factors that go into this conversation. And so, first of all, in Washington State, if someone passes away with more than $2,193,000, then an estate tax will start. Okay? If you're married, there is a thing called a spousal exclusion. So that means that I can give as much of my estate to my spouse as I desire and not pay a tax. Okay? So we use a marital deduction. However, problem with that. So let's say in this conversation that somebody had $3 million and one of the spouses passes away. Well, if we have no planning, assuming that it's not a blended family, because that's always chaotic and that has a whole different ramification by statute, that either the decedent has all assets jointly or the spouse is going to receive everything. Well, what we've done is that we have now put all $3 million into the surviving spouse's hands. And many people go, well, yeah, because they need to use it. But what we did is that when the second spouse passes away, they now have more than what the Washington maximum is. And when the second spouse dies, we're going to start paying taxes at the rate of 15%, and it goes up to 21%. Mm. So we could have fully avoided this by utilizing a revocable living trust. Mm-hmm. And so we could have utilized the exemption power of the first to die and make sure that the spouse has full access to all of the assets and fully mitigated the entire estate tax in Washington. Mm-hmm. Now, this is actually one of the most common estate planning mechanisms that we have, which is a revocable living trust. And what it does is it forms into maybe what other people know as a spousal protection trust, an AB trust. There's many different names that we use, a family trust, a marital trust. There's a Q-tip trust. There's all of these mean the exact same process. It doesn't matter what fancy term we put on it. What it means is that the estate is split into two, so it becomes a his and her estate, and we allow the survivor to use either portion. So if I were to die, my trust would say to my wife, I love you so much, you can use as much of my money as you would like, and you can use your money as well, because now it's yours. So community property is then broken into two, and we set up a tax savings clause in the AB trust to ensure that when my spouse dies, that there are no estate taxes if indeed the sum of those are under $4 million at that time, because we get to use double the numbers. So that's the most common way to do tax planning, is the simplicity of using a revocable living trust. Now, there is also another type of trust, which I personally do not use, and it is called a testamentary trust. What estate planners might do, and for me personally, other estate planners would disagree with this, and it's okay. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I just argue with myself because I'm an attorney. So put two of us in the room, and then we have a you know, difference of opinion very quickly. So other estate planners might use this tool. I don't. I believe it's an antiquated way of doing estate planning, and I believe that it fails more often than succeeds. And so therefore, a revocable living trust, in my opinion, is a far superior planning tool. But a testamentary trust, what that means is that we use a will, and inside the last testament, we put a marital trust. So in other words, this tax savings trust. So take our money that was jointly together, and the surviving spouse would disclaim a portion of the decedent's money, which then means it goes to the estate. We have to open up a probate. So there's another reason I don't like this mechanism, because we'd have to open up a probate in order for the will to be executed, versus a revocable living trust is typically a non-probated type of planning. So in a testamentary trust, the surviving spouse has disclaimed, it goes through probate, and then it goes into the decedent's trust, which hopefully has the appropriate language to start a tax savings trust. Again, let me just pause for a moment. A testamentary trust, it comes out of the testamentary instrument, which is the will. A trust is put inside of it. The surviving spouse has to disclaim, and there's multiple problems with that. And then it goes into a tax savings clause, which many of them are outdated. And so, unfortunately, the ones that I review, I am insecure as an attorney that they will work. I try to make them work, but I'm insecure that they will do the job. So, in my opinion, a testamentary trust is not a current relevant planning tool that should be used. Rather, I utilize a revocable living trust. They're trying to accomplish the same purpose, but there's many more benefits to a revocable living trust in order to save the taxes. So there is kind of the brief discussion of tax savings clauses. We didn't get into if you have $20 million, that's a whole nother issue. But the point is that we can mitigate and or fully eliminate estate taxes when we do proper estate planning. So head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. There's opportunities to join in an educational discussion. And then from there, we can sit down and we can discuss your specific family situation and come up with the right and proper planning tools that you need, regardless of whether you have more than $2 million or whether you have less than $2 million, or whether you only have $200,000. It doesn't matter. We can help you. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more ways to help your spouse with your financial plan and a lot more on the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com. LegacyandFaith.com.
This is Paul Graham from the Legacy and Faith Show, and I want to let you know that we have a new educational seminar, The Truth About Estate Planning with a Biblical Perspective, coming up on July 22nd at 6 p.m. So head over to our website, LegacyandFaith.com, to sign up for that educational interactive session July 22nd at 6 p.m.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Graham, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week, looking at spousal protections in your estate plan, your trust, your will, and that you can really help your spouse to move ahead into the future after you pass away with some proper planning. And we're talking about tax needs and avoiding estate tax. Of course, there's all kinds of taxes, though.
Right.
We haven't even scratched the surface on IRA taxes and all those things.
Yeah, income taxes. And of course, whenever we get into a tax discussion, it can move into being very, very technical, mm-hmm. and it can sound convoluted. It can sound confusing. So if you hung in there with me and you're still listening, that's a good sign. But the other issue I want you to hear is that these things are complicated. You know, people come to me all the time, Paul, I just want a simple plan. And I have to look at them and honestly say there is no such thing as a simple plan in estate planning. Is that there are so many rocks to look under to ensure that we are doing a full plan, and taxes can be just a part of it. So yes, I understand if you tuned out because I mentioned a dollar figure of $2 million or more. And if you don't have that, you may have just put a mental block to say, this isn't applicable to me. Well, maybe the tax discussion is not, but the relevant portions of we need to protect each other are still extremely valid.
Well, so, and you wanted to move then into the Medicaid plan and how you can help with that possible expense.
And Medicaid is a big deal. So now we're going to go to the opposite extreme, which is I don't have very much. So we've gone from I have what most people would consider a lot. Although when you have 2 million, all of a sudden it doesn't feel like it's a lot, but that's a whole different story. And so we go from one extreme to the other extreme, and we're using a very similar tool, which is we need to set up a trust for the surviving spouse, but this one is a little bit different. Instead of mitigating tax concerns, we are trying to make sure that the surviving spouse has finances that will support them for the rest of their life, specifically in light of having a health emergency. And this trust is designed to ensure that whatever is in that trust will not be counted against the survivor for Medicaid qualifications. And there are ways to do this. There are some technicalities, and because I was very technical in the first part, I won't be technical here. I'll try to save the show by not being double technical. But the same tool is used, which is we need to start a trust for the survivor. Now, again, these trusts look very different, one for tax issues, one for Medicaid issues. Now, when we start dealing with Medicaid planning, there's a couple of things. In order for the privilege of not having the assets count against the surviving spouse, number one is that the surviving spouse can never be in control of that money. As soon as they are a trustee or as soon as they have access, according to their discretion, to be able to go into the trust and utilize the finances, then Washington State would point the finger and say the surviving spouse can touch the money with their own power, and therefore it counts, the whole value of the trust counts as a part of their estate, and we just destroyed the plan. So typically, what we need to do is find trusted family members. And if we don't have that, then there are other professionals that can work as a trustee to invest and manage and make sure that the finances are utilized in the best interest of the surviving spouse. But the yin and the yang, the give and the take, is that we can't allow the surviving spouse to have managerial authority over the assets. Hmm. Now, this is a big deal. As a matter of fact, this is a very big deal.
Yeah.
Because in order for a Medicaid plan to work, we must give up control. And for a high majority of individuals, that is too steep of a price to pay. And so Medicaid planning sounds great. It's like, wow, I could actually shift my assets or do something with my assets and not have to have it counted against my value so that I can apply for Medicaid sooner. Well, there's a myriad of landmines in that statement. So the answer is yes, we could do that. But for the price of that, the biggest deal is that you must give up full and absolute control over those assets. Hmm. And by the way, we can't have a backdoor deal with the kids that says, I'm going to give you all of my property, but you're going to use it for my benefit, okay? So you're not going to spend it.
Yeah, that's the most common scenario we think of.
It is.
We're going to give you the house so we don't lose it to Medicaid.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Or we put a child on it, which actually doesn't help. And so there's a myriad of things that we do that sounded good, or we picked up a bit here and a piece there, and then just based upon what we heard out in the marketplace, we're trying to piecemeal this thing together. And again, I come back to good education and a specific discussion about your situation as the foundations of doing anything in an estate plan. And there are unfortunate consequences and potential disasters and landmines that can appear when we start doing these shifting of assets in our own accord. Number one is that we have a thing called a 5-year look back rule. So if we start moving money to a family member, that then for the first 5 years after that shift of assets, we won't be able to qualify for Medicaid. So in other words, if you made a gift, and unfortunately, one of the unfortunate, it actually stings pretty badly, specifically for Christians, is that if you are a tither, which I encourage everyone to be, support your church. Be sure to give into God's work. It is critical that we are financially supporting the work of the ministry and the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it starts with tithing. So when we tithe, the government would look at that and say, that's a gift. And so whatever you have given to your church is also included under the 5-year look back rule. So there's not an exclusion for it, unfortunately. But don't let that stop you from giving generously. So the 5-year look back rule is one of our first Achilles heels, is what does that mean? And how does that work within this type of planning? Versus what if we set up a spousal protection trust that was designed for Medicaid and could hold the finances without the 5-year look back rule?
Hmm. And that's, there is such a thing?
That is possible.
Oh.
And so again, we're coming back to the base premise, which is we need good education. We need to have a specific sit-down discussion, and whether it is estate tax or whether it's Medicaid planning, whether we have been blessed in finances or whether we might be struggling in finances, there are solutions on how to protect our spouse and generations when we do proper estate planning. But if we never have the discussion, then we will never know what we can and can't do. And so therefore, again, the discussion point and my voice of action is always head over to our website. We got to get this core education. We got to sit down together and talk this out. And it doesn't matter where you are in the Pacific Northwest. I serve people from Bellingham down to Olympia, over on the Kitsap Peninsula, over in Issaquah. So even though my office is in Linwood, there are ways that we can connect and assist you and your family. So head over to legacyandfaith.com, sign up for an upcoming educational class. There's a myriad of things already there. All of our past podcasts are there, and we have more to discuss on this. So tune in again next week as well on the Legacy and Faith Show. So head over to legacyandfaith.com for more information.
How to protect your spouse, such an important discussion on the Legacy and Faith Show. And remember, there's webinars and different things happening on that website, legacyandfaith.com. Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.